Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our epistle reading from Romans chapter 5, with an emphasis on these words. God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. On a crisp and beautiful summer morning in 2003, much like the ones we've been experiencing this week, a local resident of Waukesha, Wisconsin, named Matthew Munshaw, woke up from a rather restless night's sleep, and he began to prepare himself for the business of the day. Except for Mr. Munshaw, the business of the day entailed going on a revenge-fueled tear of vandalism through his hometown of Waukesha. On his agenda were three particular houses, each of which all belonged to people who had, in some way, he thought, wronged him. At the first house, Munshaw took a can of spray paint, and he proceeded to paint a series of obscenities, threats, and taunts, which made even the most grizzled veteran of the WPD blush as they began to piece together this bizarre story. And it turned out they didn't have to look very far, for you see, the owner of this house, he recognized the face of the man who was defacing his property. He knew at once that it was Munshaw, and he reported to the police that he thought that the reason for the crime was that Munshaw blamed him for the loss of his part-time job 3 years ago. Oh, but Munshaw wasn't done carrying out his grudge-addled reign of terror on the town. Next on his list was the flower garden of a kindly older gentleman, which he promptly uprooted and then deposited into the man's swimming pool. The apparent offense in this case? Well, Munshaw remembered the man from 5 long years ago when he had apparently stopped an argument between him and his girlfriend at the time. I wish I could tell you that that's where this strange story ends, but sadly, no. At last, Matthew came to the house of a kindly middle-aged wife and mother, armed with a gallon of paint thinner, which he then proceeded to apply liberally to her and her husband's brand new, beautiful sports car. The woman's crime? Well, she had cut Munshaw off in traffic 10 years prior. Say what you will about the immaturity and strangeness of his actions, but Matthew Munshaw sure knew how to hold a grudge. This is sadly true for many of us, isn't it? Now I pray that you have not carried out your grudges to such strange and outlandish extremes, but each and every one of us has harbored ill will or hurt feelings towards one of our brothers and sisters. When our neighbor offends us or wrongs us, or even disagrees with our worldview and politics, we have the tendency to take it personally, don't we? In the famous crime epic, The Godfather, Michael Corleone famously says of his that the key to his father, the Don's, success was that he took everything personal. He never forgot an insult, and he never let an injury go unanswered. Now, while this may make for a rather fascinating fictional character, we know that it is a poor way to navigate a life which is so permeated with sinful sorrows of our own making. And yet, even though we know this, still we persist. We harbor ill will. We keep the wrongs done to us in a chamber of our hearts like a metaphorical case of ammunition, just waiting to be unloaded when the moment is right. We are often wrathful and vengeful people because of our sin. However, the Apostle Paul gives us an alternative to this vengeful kind of living in his epistle to the Romans. In chapter 12, the Apostle writes, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, would that we lived this way. Would that we would consider answering evil with good, showing love to our neighbors and mercy to our enemies. Think for a moment just how different our world today would look. How many of you have turned on the news lately to see reports of violence and anger in our homes and our workplaces? Vitriol spilling out of our elected offices. Peaceful protests turning into raging riots and attacks from those whom we have trusted to defend us. We may try to answer this problem with law and legislation, but the resentment and the bitterness only grows. It grows because the problem of sin is not overcome with the law. It is overcome with Christ Jesus. Now, certainly checks and balances are good to curb people away from their sinful behavior, but these things are no substitute for genuine and heartfelt reconciliation. This is why St. Paul, in our epistle for today, reminds us of the free gift that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, the very gift of reconciliation with God the Father. Hear him again when he says, "God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Dear friends, since we have been so reconciled to our God through the death of his Son, how can we possibly justify living in division with one another? Let us instead give the free gift which Christ in his death and resurrection has given us in abundance. Let us be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let us not make the free gift like the trespass, as St. Paul writes. Rather, let us be quick to forgive, secure in the knowledge that no matter how great our trespass has been, the gift of God's grace is far greater and far more abundant, so much so that it makes atonement for all sins, not just our own, not just the private sins that we have committed, but the sins of all humanity, which were carried to the cross. Since we have been so justified by this free gift, may we not persist in unjust living with one another. Let the ministry of this church be a ministry of reconciliation and not of division. Reconciliation first with God in the waters of holy baptism, and then reconciliation with man by daily contrition and by acts of mercy. For ours is a God who desires mercy. He is not vengeful and full of wrath. He is not like the old mafia dons or the angry voices spilling out of the television and social media. He does not desire the destruction of those who have wronged him, but only that they receive his gift of grace, forgiveness and life in the name of Christ Jesus. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I urge you, look at your neighbors, all of your neighbors, regardless of their political leanings, their economic status, the badge they wear, or the color of their skin. Look at them and see them with the eyes of Christ. See them as he first saw you, a lost sinner, one who was in need of grace and mercy. And so now, seeing them this way, answer them with a measure of the grace which has been given you from Calvary's cross, For this is the only answer which publishes peace in the midst of troubled times. Remember not their wrongs or their insults or the ways that they've hurt you. Do not answer injury with vengeance, for such judgments belong to God and not to man. Let not death reign among those who have been made to live anew in the image of Christ Jesus. Instead, let his name be proclaimed in all of our words and all of our deeds. Let the good works which spill over from the cup of his forgiveness permeate your lives to the end that those who see your justified life may also give glory to God. Remember his gospel. Remember the free gift which reconciled you to your Father in heaven. Remember the compassion with which he saw you in your wretched state and gave his life so that you may live. Show this love in acts of mercy and service to your neighbor, just as Christ has loved you, just as Christ has served you, just as Christ has given you mercy. Live in the light of this good and gracious gift, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.